Hey, good Friday, everyone. Hopefully you all have had a great January. I know a lot of us have been sick, including myself, throughout this month. And so we've been having to do some sales meetings kind of a little differently. And I was supposed to get this out on Wednesday, but some things came up and I was not feeling well yesterday, but getting it out today. So here we go. Let's off and start. Okay. So some laws to remember. This one, for the most part, you should know. You should know very, very easily. We learned this in real estate school. But there's one little nuance that I wanted to bring up to you regarding material adverse fact. The South Carolina Code of Laws states that it is a condition or occurrence that is generally recognized as, okay, and then it says significantly and adversely affecting the value of real estate. Of course, that's pretty significant material adverse fact if it affects the value of real estate. Significantly reducing the structural integrity of improvements to real estate. That's where most of us understand the material adverse fact. If there's a problem in the house, it's affecting the structure. That's typical material adverse fact. We all know that. Presenting a significant health risk to occupants of the real estate. Okay. Obviously radon, lead-based paint, you know that. Or, and this is the one that a lot of us don't necessarily know, a material adverse fact. Check this out. So information that indicates that a party to a transaction is not able to or does not intend to meet an obligation under a contract or agreement made concerning the transaction. Information that indicates that a party to a transaction is not able to or does not intend to meet an obligation under a contract or agreement made concerning the transaction. Now, there's a lot to be said about that. So, the law continues on later on in the code, and it says, in addition to section 40-1-110, the commission may deny issuance of a license to an applicant or may take disciplinary action against a licensee who, get this, fails to disclose in accordance with section 4057-530, a known material fact concerning a real estate transaction. Okay, so they're referring back to 4057-530, talking about material adverse facts. Talking about possibly not getting, first of all, not giving you a license, but secondly, not renewing it and taking it away or taking some sort of disciplinary action. So let's talk a little bit more about some examples. Okay. Significantly and adversing affecting the value of the real estate. So having knowledge that a landfill or shooting range is being built directly behind the property, that would affect the value of real estate. Obviously, if the house is here, it's a blank field behind, and all of a sudden you knew, or the seller told you and you had knowledge that there's going to be a landfill being built back there in the next 6 months, or a shooting range was coming into town, that's going to affect the value. Significantly reducing the structural integrity. I don't go into a whole lot about this, but knowing the slab underneath the flooring is significantly cracked, it continues to widen. Okay, we know there's a problem with the slab. The slab continues to widen and it's moving, and you know it, and you don't disclose it. Most of us are not going to do that, right? We just know that you can't do that. Anyway, presenting a significant health risk to occupants of the real estate. Okay, so example, knowing the house has been tested and has significant amounts of radon. If you're already aware of this and it's not disclosed, that is a obvious material adverse fact. Again, those three are pretty standard. It's pretty normal. But the last one, that information that indicates a party to a transaction is not able to or does not intend to meet an obligation under a contract or agreement made concerning the transaction. Here's where we get tied up. Because we're so scared about saying something that we think may be confidential or that may not be in our client's best interest. And so we tend to hold on to this information and not say something about it. You can't do that. Okay. So what's the example? Knowing that a buyer has not delivered and refuses to deliver an earnest money check under the allotted time frame in the contract. Okay. So that's just one example. If you know that your buyer is not going to turn in their earnest money and they're doing that intentionally, or they can't, or if you know they have done something to their loan and they're not going to be able to get qualified during the time of the contract, and there's a problem and you know that they're not going to get qualified at all, you need to disclose that and you need to let the other party know. Otherwise, you can be in violation of this particular statute. Now, so We talked about that. We talked about knowing about earnest money checks and knowing about things that are going to affect the transaction. Now, just how valuable is that toilet seat? And let me just stop and say that when I was putting this whole thing together, this section is strange. Okay, I know it. You know me. I always do things a little bit different. So talking about toilet seats is not necessarily what I thought I was going to get into. However, there's a reason, and you're going to see the reason why I'm bringing this up. Just how valuable is that toilet seat? So, scenario time. You just won another listing opportunity and you're filling out the residential data form. Congratulations, good for you. You got a listing in this hard market. You know you're hopefully, well, you know you're going to get it sold because there's multiple buyers as opposed to very, very little listings out there. So you're happy. Okay. You're filling out the residential data form and you're walking around the house and you know, you walk into the bathroom. I guess my video is not going to play, unfortunately. You walk into the bathroom and you see a strange toilet seat. Okay. Strange. You're like, what in the world is that? Never seen anything like that. So what do you do? What do you do? Do you continue to do your walkthrough as normal and just say, hey, that's a strange toilet seat, and check off all your boxes in the residential data form and stick everything in the MLS? Or do you question the homeowner about the said toilet seat? That's strange. Okay. So of course the answer was B, right? You question the homeowner, hey, tell me about this toilet seat. I've never seen anything like that, right? The answer is B. Well, guess what? A toilet seat is an appurtenance. You never thought about that? Think again, the toilet seat is an appurtenance to the property. Check this out, what I found online. Okay. So we got some toilet seats out there. It would blow your mind of how much money these things are. Look at that one up there in the upper left, $3,317 for a toilet seat. Now, mind you, these are the Mac Daddy of toilet seats, right? They're the bidets, they got fans, they got heaters, they got whatever you want on there, okay? And then you got this other one, $1,363.84, another bidet toilet seat, okay? So we're not thinking about this when we're listing houses, but think again, okay? So continuing on with the scenario. You must inquire with the seller if the toilet seat will convey or not. It's attached. It's an appurtenance to the property. What do I mean by that? Let's look at what the contract says. Contractual verbiage covering the toilet seat. Hereby, the property in section 3, this is on page 1, hereby acknowledging sufficient good contract consideration, i.e. mutual promises herein. That's a lot of legal jargon. The seller will sell and convey, and the buyer will buy for the purchase price any and all lot or parcel of land an appurtenant interest, that is an upgrade, an attachment to the property, okay? Improvements, is a toilet seat that's got a bidet and a heater and everything else an improvement to the house? Sure it is. Landscape systems and fixtures, okay? Don't think of toilet seats as fixtures, but they are. If any thereon and further described below, it's regarding the property. The seller agrees to maintain an operable condition of the property and any personal property conveying in the same operable condition, okay? So when the buyer looks at that house and they see that awesome toilet seat on there, they're like, yes, I finally got a bidet, right? Great toilet seat. I'm so happy. I've never had one of those before. And they expect to have that at closing. Well, continuing on with the scenario. Not too long ago, a seller recently removed a $1,200 toilet seat from their home without the buyer's knowledge. Buyer goes there, toilet seat's gone. Guess what? Obviously, the buyer and the buyer's agent contacted the seller's agent and said, hey, yeah, I took the toilet seat. And they said, yeah, that's our toilet seat. We just replaced it with another one. Nope. That was not in the contract. It was never disclosed that you'd be taking that. That was an attachment. Sure enough, it was one of those expensive Mac Daddy toilet seats. At closing, the seller had to write a personal check to the buyer for said toilet seat because it was not disclosed that the toilet seat would not convey with the property. Yes, we are discussing toilet seats in a real estate transaction. Case in point, any appurtenance in a home that is not conveying should be discussed with the seller and disclosed in the MLS, okay? We do it with ceiling fans. We do it with chandeliers that may be great, great, great grandmas. You know, we do that. But things have changed. Got to do it with a toilet seat now, okay? Especially if it's strange, okay? In other words, put the seat down and you take that however you want to take it. Put the seat down. All right, so some thrifty tech tips. Trying to keep this short and sweet today. Thrifty tech tips. So talking about core. Core, the center of your business. All agents that have completed their agent success plan have been added to a round robin lead rotation. Okay? It's done. When we get a lead in, and we're starting to make some more landing and squeeze pages, when those leads come in, they're automatically getting routed to you guys, okay, in a round robin status. If you get an email, text message, phone call, you got 15 minutes to respond, okay? If that lead that goes to you, if you don't respond to that within 15 minutes, it's going to automatically jump to the next lead rotation agent, okay? So I'd highly encourage you, keep your phone on you. Make sure you're getting those text messages. I got it set up to email, text, and or call. So 15 minutes you got. That's plenty of time. A lot of those things, if you're not on it within five, they'll go. But I'm giving a little grace here just because of the fact that I know we're all busy. 15 minutes, we want to make sure that we get a good return on our investment, you know, with doing that. So we want to get to that lead as soon as possible. So if you've done your agent success plan, you've been added to the round robin lead generation, or correction, lead rotation. It's in there. If you're doing it and completing it after this video, just let me know. I'll go in there and I'll automatically add you. Okay? No big deal. It's easy for me to do so. All right. So you want some more leads? You got to get leads into your funnel. Obviously, leads create business, creates money for you. Okay? So you want more? Here's a few things. Got this from Dan Bryant, our trainer. It's really, really great stuff. And again, my video is not playing. That should be really cool. Bright lights around there. But it's not. So set up your core listing machine. In core, go down to your marketing and set up your core listing machine. Once you get a new listing, that's going to put virtual tours on YouTube for you. It's going to do a lot for you. So check that out. If you've done your agent success plan, you've already seen some of this. But if you haven't, look in that, especially if you're a listing agent, you got to look into that. Okay, that is huge, huge, huge marketing for you. If you're not taking advantage of it, you're missing out on major opportunities. Share an office listing on social media. Go into core. Get that URL link where that's at and share that. When people start clicking on that and they go to your website, that's going to automatically generate a lead for you. It's going to automatically go into core. Set up your social media resource on Berkshire Hathaway's Resource Center. Go to the marketing resource and the bottom left-hand corner of the tile, it says social media resource. If you do not have that set up, you're missing opportunities there. It's going to automatically post blog content for you once a week. Any day that you want, you can go in there and you can tell it to post other blogs to your social media, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Okay? You guys can get leads off of this. If you start seeing people click on those things or comment, those are people that you need to reach out to. Consider an AdWorks social sphere of influence campaign. Okay? Meaning you got to have at least 100 people. If you got contacts, at least 100 people. AdWorks will automatically start doing a sphere of influence campaign where when your sphere of influence goes to certain websites, and there's thousands of them, on the paid areas of those advertising on those websites, they're going to start seeing your name constantly pop up. Remember, you're branding yourself. You are your own brand. Consider a property boost from within core, okay? Especially your own, but you can do a property boost. It's not very much money, okay? Create a squeezer landing page. Those are very, very simple to do. If you create that squeezer landing page, you're marketing that on social media, you're putting that out. And when people click on those, and if they're taken to your website, once they start looking at things and checking things out, and they put in their email, you will automatically get that lead once it goes to the core. So you can also start a 777 campaign. Dan Bryant talks about this in PAS. You know, campaign every day, 777. What does this mean? Email, 7 people, text message, 7 people, direct message, 7 people every day. That's just maybe just to check in on them to see how they're doing, see if they're healthy or not. Okay. So you got to be doing something every day, 777. All right. So do you need a luxury sign installed? Well, guess what? If you do, you are in luck. Here's what you do. Use Jarman. Jarman is our new courier sign installer. Email all your sign install requests to signs@cdanjoiner.com. include your property address, include install or placement instructions. You know, if you want it on one side of the property or wherever, make sure he's got those instructions, include your client's name and contact information and your requested install date. They can do this for you. We've got the van, we've got the signs, he's ready to go. Use Jarman. I'm going to get a photo of him here shortly so you can see exactly who he is. All right, unfortunately, I'm a little sad about this, but our marketing story is La La Point. We unfortunately didn't have a whole lot of agent adoption on this. So those number one stories, our contract's not going to be renewed. We're going to retire that particular product just because we just did not have a lot of agent adoption. So if you go to the hub and it's not on there anymore, that's exactly the reason why. So just want to let you know that as well. Our next agent council meeting is on February 9th. See your agent council members in your respective offices. If you have anything that we need to bring to Danny or David, or you have any ideas for the office or whatever, just bring that to your agent council members and they will be meeting, I know, with David on February 9th between 12 and 2. All right, stop the mayhem, okay? The BOP, or Business Owners Policy for Real Estate Agents. You can get this through Brad Hughes at Allstate. There's his contact information, 864-630-8605, and bradhughes@allstate.com. It's very inexpensive. It's less than like $400 a year to get this business insurance. And this protects you from everything, not everything. It protects you for most things outside of what errors and omissions insurance should protect you from. Okay, so check that out. It's a great investment for you, and it's a great tool to have in your toolbox. All right, sales meetings, obviously, they've been a little strange with holidays and core and things like that over November, December, but I'm trying to get back into this. So monitoring sicknesses and monitoring, healthy ways to stay away from one another, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about, okay? So obviously, it's a little limited right now, but I'm shooting for the next two sales meetings to be in person on February 9th here at Pleasantburg at 9 a.m. and February 26th here also at 9 a.m. So be looking forward to those. And without further ado, thank you so much. I appreciate every one of you. Thank you for a great 2021 yet again. Hope you have a great rest of your week. Stay healthy, stay warm, be blessed. God bless each and every one of you. I do appreciate you so much. Hope you have a blessed day. Take care.